Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today is our live prophecy reality edition. So if you're hearing my voice on air on a Wednesday morning or about noon, on the East Coast, come on over and join us. Go to firstamendmentradio.com, click on the chat button there and join us on the chat page live. There's even a little screen there. We have the studio cam on, so you can see me sitting in the studio, and any exhibits I might put on the screen will also be available for you. If you're at work and you're working hard, whatever you're doing there, but listening, well, just keep listening. I'll try to make it enjoyable as possible. Well, let's see. Our scripture for the day is, and maybe I'll even put that on the screen, Revelation chapter, oops, that's not the right one. That's not it. That's one of our scriptures for today, but that's for later. For as Matthew 24:27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So there's not going to be a secret coming or rapture, because, yeah, it's going to be out there. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, and we are in the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon not give her light, and all the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven unto the other. And that's called the resurrection. And this, the powers of heaven being shaken, this is prophetic language, which you can get the key to from reading the prophets in the Old Testament. And we understand that these are the political heavens that are going to be shaken, the powers of the heavens being shaken. This isn't literally the stars and falling from heaven, and the moon, the sun and the moon not giving their light. Although, you know, there may be some smoke and whatever going on, but it's more, if you go to interpretation given for Old Testament prophecies, you'll see this type of language talking about the political heavens. Okay, so, and basically this is the return of Christ. Matthew 24:27-31, when we have the resurrection. Sorry, no secret raptures. That's not going to happen. Let's take a look at the news, and we'll jump into other topics on prophecy after that. And in the second hour, we're going to continue in History Unveiling Prophecy. Yeah, by H. Grattan Guinness. We're going to go into our 14th segment of that, so you'll want to stick around for that. All right, well, let's see what we have on our news desk here. I'm sure I have some items up here someplace. It's already getting hot in my studio. We only got down to 82 degrees last night here in the foothills of the Southern Sierras, where we are secluded from the world. So it still gets hot here on the edge of the big valley, so where we're at. And but anyway, there's your weather, local weather report. And I don't have the air conditioner on or a fan, and it's hot already. That's just my way of complaining for all the good it's going to do. Anyway, let's see our first story. And this one is from jewishpress.com. And it says, breaking, Netanyahu offers Wadi Ara for Gush it's Zion, and these are areas of Israel. But you have to read the article a little bit to go about what's going on there, and why is it important prophecy. Basically, what we learn here, and I'll just start reading it. There's a nice map there of what's going on and what these places are, which don't mean a whole lot to me or you probably. But Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today proposed a new peace plan to U.S. President Donald Trump via two of his top advisors, Jason D. Greenblatt and Jared Kushner. So what we know, who arrived in the region this week in an attempt to help calm the situation in Jerusalem. And what is the date on this article here? July 27th. So that was last week. So the situation required the peace talkers to come over there. And so President Trump sent two of his advisors, his son-in-law, who is a Orthodox Jew, that would be Jared Kushner, and Jason D. Greenblatt. And Netanyahu is extending plans to them for the peace process in the Mideast. So this is basically just to let you know that the peace process is going on, and every time something pops up, like the two Israeli police got killed by some snipers or gun-toting Islamist jihadists on the Temple Mount two or three weeks ago, and it really hasn't quieted down yet. They installed metal detectors on the Temple Mount. The Islamists, they complain, and they took them down, and they're installing more clandestine methods than, you know, metal detectors. At least that's the story that we're giving for taking down the metal detectors, because they're going to a more clandestine method of watching things. But anyway, Netanyahu's plan involves Israel annexing Gush Etzion in exchange for transferring the heavily populated Arab towns in Wadi Ara, the area known as the Northern Triangle, to the Palestinian Authority. Israel's Channel 2 TV investigative journalist Amit Siegel reported Thursday night. According to the proposal, only the Arab towns and its citizens in those Arab towns would be swapped, not the entire region itself. So they're talking a little more land swapping to give the Islamists, to work out some kind of peace deal, which will eventually, as we know from the plan, or at least that's the script that they've written, entail building a temple or temple-type structure for the Jews on the Temple Mount, or near the Temple Mount, or an expanded Temple Mount. We'll just have to see how all that works out, but I'm sure the talks are going on well behind the scenes, so you'll want to stay tuned for that, and we like to keep an eye on what's going on there. And if you want to have a clue about what's going on over there, you should get my book, When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. Because as I said, according to our scripture verse that we opened the program with, there is no secret rapture. There is a resurrection. And I never read about a secret rapture. And also, the return of Christ is not imminent, unless you think within the next 40 years is imminent. But it cannot happen at any time, because there are things in prophecy which must be fulfilled before Christ returns. So his return is not imminent. Okay? And we could talk more about a little bit more about that. But I have that on my website. I have a, if you're interested in that, I have a post called What Year Is It? So go to my website, put in What Year Is It in the search box there, and that you'll get that article. It's also an addendum in my book, When the Third Temple is Built. So it's in there too. Okay, let's jump to our next article, see what Michael has for us here. Talking about the Temple Mount, let's see, we got one here, Day of Mourning for Lost Temple. Okay, Israel breaking news. We have this here. 1,300 Jews on Temple Mount signal end of exile, beginning of joyous redemption. Go away. Pop-ups. Yes, and so we have a picture of 13, the 9th of Av, August 1st, 2017. 1,300 Jews ascended the Temple Mount. On Tuesday, the holiday of 9th of Av, a record-breaking in 1,300 Jews ascend the Temple Mount, turning a day of deepest mourning for the destruction of the Temple. So this is, I guess they have a regular yearly day of deepest mourning for the destruction of the prior two temples, into a catalyst to bring the beginnings of the third temple. I know that if there had been an announcement on the radio to go up and build, thousands more Jews were ready for that, said Rabbi Yisrael Ariel, the chief rabbi of Hebron, told Breaking Israel News of the awe-filled atmosphere on the Mount. And he is a Temple Mount figure. He's a figure in the Temple Mount movement who fought along IDF paratroopers when they conquered the holy site in 1967 and didn't use that bulldozer to knock down the Dome of the Rock. And we talked about that before. Okay, enough on that one. Let's see what else we have here in our news here. Next story. All of this kind of related. For the first time in millennia, Jewish priests will undergo training to enter the temple, the temple's holy of holies. So see, they're getting ready for this thing over there. For the first time in 2,000 years, a group of Kohanim, men of Jewish priestly caste, I guess that would be Levites, if they can, or at least who they guess are Levites, living close to Jerusalem's Old City, are studying the relevant Jewish laws to be able to ascend the Temple Mount and enter the Holy of Holies, where God's presence is said to dwell. So you see, everything is going in that direction. Okay. Let's see what else we got here on our next article. And that was Breaking Israel News, if you want to look that one up. And a little closer to home here. U.S. town bans residents from criticizing mosque. And this is WorldNet Daily. And here we have a picture of people. Islam will dominate the world. Oh, well, these look like that was sued by Muslims for refusing to approve a massive mosque project is returning to court because of a settlement agreement that restricts speech regarding Islam. That didn't make any sense to me. Did that make any sense to you? New Jersey township that was sued by Muslims for refusing to approve a massive mosque project is returning to court because of a settlement agreement that restricts speech guarding Islam. Those are kind of, I don't get it. But, oops. I don't get it. Do you get it? Do you understand that statement? Okay, well, I don't know who writes some of these news articles. The settlement required the township to hold a public meeting about the mosque project, but it forbade anyone from commenting on Islam or Muslims. Oh, I guess we're going to talk about it, but you can't talk about Muslim or Islam. If you, whatever, okay. I know they're building a mosque here in the town that's near me. Near the foothills here, yeah, just out there in the valley a little bit. I've been working on it for a long time, for over a year now. I've been watching that thing get built. So I guess I think somebody's building it, I don't know, using only Islam. I don't know. Anyway, I'll keep you updated on that. Hasn't opened yet, but they've been working on it over a year. And I know they bought, I think, an old Presbyterian church downtown. That's where the Islamic mosque is now. An old abandoned Presbyterian church downtown. I think, or Congregational church or something, an old abandoned one. And that would be, that's in a town near where I'm at, near the foothills here in the Big Valley in California. That's right, the San Joaquin Valley. Okay, well, let's see what our next news item is. And I think we have one more, and this goes to the Antichrist Church. And I guess I could have a little bit to say about that, because I've had some doings with this kind of nonsense going on. And this is from CatholicNews.com, so I guess they know what they're doing, or at least what their church is doing. Okay, here it is. Catholic says exuberant charismatic movement brought her back to church. Chris Schaefer grew up as a nominal Catholic, in name only, and that's, I don't know, is there another kind? And she wasn't even sure she still believed in God in the mid-1970s, and atheism is rampant in the Catholic Church. So it's kind of part of being a Catholic is being an atheist. She moved to Fort Walton Beach, Florida, where her husband Doug was stationed. I found it fascinating that anybody believed in God. He was like Santa Claus you believed in childhood. You would get that from going to a Catholic church, wouldn't you? Mean, his priests only speak Latin, so what could you learn? And you don't read the Bible. Anyway, she says, he went to St. Ignatius, that's a good Loyola church there, a good Jesuit church there in Antioch. That began to change after talking with friends from her husband's unit who had become involved in the charismatic movement through their Episcopal church. She decided, for this God story to survive all these thousands of years, there had to be something more than I knew about God. Anyway, I have a little experience here on the ground with this charismatic church movement. And because I tried to get a home church thing going here in the local town, and it quickly got taken over by a corporation, and they moved in with their charismatics and their charismania and started to dominate the home church movement. So it was and they called them micro churches. They went from home church to micro church, but the whole idea was to take all the micro churches and bring them together after they planted seeds in all the home churches to build a macro church where they would open up a new emerging church, charismatic church movement. And there were a lot of Catholics involved in it. It just started flooding the home church movement with all these little old lady Catholics and stuff and venerating Mary and all that stuff. But they were charismatic and speaking in tongues and laying hands on people and healing them and not healing them nonsense, making them feel like they were healed, you know, doing the whole methodology of faith, fake faith healing. And just embracing that whole thing. And they would bring Bible study in. And how they do it is they would fragment the scripture. And everyone would bring their own Bible and a different version. So you'd have 10 different versions. And here's how they studied the Bible in the home church, in the home charismatic Christian Catholic church movement, is they would pick a chapter of the Bible and they would, everyone in the circle would open their Bible to that chapter, and each person would read one verse. And by the time you got around through 10 different versions of the Bible, and nobody knew what was going on. And then, because after fragmenting the scripture like this methodology works really good if you want to destroy the Word of God and fragment it so that it makes no sense. Then they would go around, they would have their little sheet, and they would ask certain questions, and everyone would answer the questions. And then they would have discussion groups to answer these questions, and then they would get back together and discuss what their answer was to the questions. Well, he who frames the debate he who frames the debate wins the topic, or however the saying. What's that saying? He who frames the debate, Michael? Well, wins the argument, right? Well, anyway, they framed the debate by asking questions, and they were all oriented toward the charismatic, emerging church, the power of God, how you can get it, and how you can heal people and speak in tongues and stuff like that. And the gospel was lost. The gospel message was lost. Anyway, I would challenge him, but for a while it became futile after a while, because these people were off in their own other gospel universe. So that's my experience with the charismatic emerging church, new apostolic reformation. There's a clue right there when you hear the new apostolic reformation. First, they're demeaning the word reformation because they want to change it. So now they have a new apostolic reformation, meaning that God has further revelation, because of course the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, which is my standard for faith and practice, is not good enough. It's not complete. It's up to the Pope, really, which parts you should follow or not, because the Pope is infallible, but the Word of God is not. And therefore you can have new revelation. And if God speaks to someone in their new apostolic reformation movement, well, you're getting new revelation. So they walk around and mumbo-jumbo, speak in tongues, and they lay hands on people, and they so-called prophesy over them. Their definition of prophecy and to prophesy is different than the Scripture, and it certainly has nothing to do with the prophecies of old or the prophecies of Scripture. They have a gift of prophecy that is not listed in the Scripture itself. That's my experience with the charismania of the charismatic, ecumenical, and very Catholic movement. You'll see a lot of Catholics right in there, and they call themselves spiritual mothers. That's what they become known as, the spiritual mothers. And so they're like little old lady nuns, many of them old or widowed or whatever, or divorced, but they found new life in their Catholic Church, and now they're spiritual mothers for all of the wayward Protestant and evangelicals out there in this movement. Anyway, yes, way too much fun. Okay, let's see, what else did we do? Was that the last one? Let me see, I might have had one more article here. Nope, that was all of them. That was our news articles I had for today. So, we might have had some questions in the chat room. Let me read these. Yeah, I know there was a question there. Okay, well, anyway, we're going to a break, and when I get back from those messages, we'll jump into questions and we'll talk about some other things. And maybe your calls. You can call in. Get that number there in the upper right-hand corner of the chat room and call us at 559-797-8537. See you in a few minutes. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.com. org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. So I want to thank for the few people that have showed up and are listening live here and joined me in the chat room. I have a few questions here, so we'll get to those. The first question is from Blue Raven. He says, in accordance with Genesis 1:14 and Job 38, do you think the September 23rd Revelation 12 sign holds any prophetic significance? Okay. In accordance with... let's look at those scripture verses first. Let's do that, okay? Let me put those on the screen here. And let's see. Genesis, what was that first one? Oh, Genesis something. Oops, there it is right there. Genesis 1:4. 1:14. Okay, yeah. And I saw the light, Daniel 1:14, sorry, not 1:4. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Okay. Well, you know, and ever since that day, they have been. I mean, we have months because of the moon. So the lights in the firmament of heaven, of the heaven, and that's the heaven that he created on the first day, because there's only one the heaven in the Genesis account. So that would be the moon and the sun and the stars. And yeah, they've been doing their job ever since then. Okay, and for season, yes, that works for doing for days and years. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. And let's see, I think the next one was there was a Job reference there, Job 38 something. Job 38 something? No? We don't know what it is? Job 38 something, and I forgot what it was. Okay, well, I guess I'll go look for it then. All right, Job 38:32. All right, let me put this back on the screen. 38:32. Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? And speaking of the cancellate, well, that's only a question. It has nothing to do with Revelation 12. Neither of these verses have anything to do with Revelation 12. We should probably look at Revelation 12. I think I might even have that here somewhere. Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And supposedly, this Revelation 12:1, and September 23rd, and I talked about this several months ago, that people have come out and they see that there's an alignment that's going to happen in the heaven, where the stars and the moon and the sun are, and these 12 stars, and they say that, well, this, someone had to say, well, this is the alignment of this, when they're just, you're only guessing. It's only speculation at best is all it can be, okay? Because the fact is, if you're a historicist Protestant, well, this means something else. If you're looking for an interpretation from the scripture, well, you would start with the dream of Joseph, where the sun and the moon are his mother and his father, and the 12 stars are the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 12 sons of Israel, okay? I mean, that's where you start with an interpretation if you want to know what the interpretation is that the Bible gives for this symbol, okay? And see, know this is symbolic because of the symbolic language. Well, you can't say, well, this part of it is symbolic and this part is not. So you're saying, well, this is literal. This is a literal sign that's going to happen in the heavens. But, well, it's symbolic, obviously, because the moon is under her feet. And she's clothed with the sun. Obviously symbolic. Now, a woman can be with child and travail in birth and be pained to be delivered, but there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. So in the same heaven, there's a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And obviously, we know that this beast is the Roman Empire, and it's pagan Rome in this instance, in this manifestation of it. So we know we're talking symbolically about the political heavens. That's what this language refers to. It doesn't refer to the literal, the heaven where the sun and the moon are. Okay? And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. See, symbolic, because there's no dragon grabbing the stars and casting them to the earth. So this is obviously all symbolic language. and it's to be understood symbolically. And if you want to understand what these symbols mean, oh, get this book here, The Last Prophecy. As a matter of fact, put a link in there to the Last Prophecy page on my website, Michael. And I read this book online, you know, to you on a YouTube channel. And for all my subscribers, there's a password on the page he's going to send to you so that I'll even read it, or you can get a free copy of this book, The Last Prophecy, by going to my website, crosstheborder.org, and click on the free ebook tab and ask for The Last Prophecy. Okay, just follow the instructions there and say, I'd like a copy of The Last Prophecy, and I'll send you an e-copy for free, a PDF or EPUB, whichever one we have, or both of those. And also, stay tuned for the second hour. We are going through the entirety of History Unveiling Prophecy by H. Grant Tanguinis, outlining the historicist method, the historical method, the historical Protestant method of interpreting the revelation. Okay? So that's the method that we teach here, that we're trying to get people to understand. It's not this futurist method where everything is off in the future, where it can only be speculation. Nothing is ever verified, you know, until, as I write in my book, you know, when the third temple is built, then it's time for them to put up or shut up, okay, because the pre-tribulation rapture is not going to happen when they start building the temple over there in Jerusalem. So they're all going to be waiting for 3.5 years for a mid-tribulation rapture. But I gotta tell you a secret. You know, it's as secret as the secret rapture. There are no raptures. There's not going to be a mid-tribulation, a pre-tribulation, or a post-tribulation 7-year tribulation rapture. Because even the 7-year tribulation is a deception. That's why I call it the 7-year tribulation deception, based upon a juxtaposed 70th week of Daniel. What they say is, well, the 70th week didn't follow the 69th week. It comes 2,000 years later. Then how on earth is it the 70th week? How on earth? Well, they explain that by the Jews come back. Well, the Jews have been back since 1940, whatever. You know, why didn't the 70th week start when the Jews came back in the land? Oh, it's just going to be the last 7 years. Then the Jews count again, but right now they don't count. And so, but there is no gap. And that, I write about that in my book, and we talked about it ad infinitum. So get my book and get yourself educated on that. Okay. Let's see, I know we had some other questions. I hope we put that to rest. September 23rd, 24th, the next day, for those who don't see it on the 23rd, will come and go, just like all of the other previous rapture, because a lot of people say that's when the rapture is going to happen. Or they're going to start building the temple. They may start building a temple, or a temple-type building, or a national Jewish synagogue or something on the Temple Mount. May happen by, they might come to an agreement by September 23rd. But sorry, if you believe in a rapture, if you're holding out your hope for the imminent return of Christ because of the rapture, because without the rapture, the return of Christ isn't imminent. Certain things must happen first before he returns. All of the prophecy that is enumerated to be fulfilled before his return must happen before he returns. And I believe that it could all happen over the next 40 years. So, like I said, if your idea of imminent is 40 years, then I'm with you. But it's not an at any moment kind of thing. Okay, we had another question, so I better maybe look at that and address that. Terry Tibbs. Well, I don't know who Terry Tibbs is, but I think this is your first time. And he's a SDA teach. Well, I'm not SDA. The SDA are not Protestants. They came 100 years, hundreds of years after the Reformation. They've only been around for a little over 150 years. the SDA denomination, but they've got some problems, doctrinal problems. Okay, let's see. The sun appeared over, I don't know anything about that. I guess that has nothing to do with anything. It says he says, why does, this is a question, I guess. Why does everything Nix, and I guess he doesn't know how to spell my name, but he's referring to me, sets out to do, he seems to fail. Well, what if I set out to do and failed? Now that's the first question. We better enumerate those first before I answer the question. But you get people like Rick Wiles that ask for money and it comes to him in droves. Well, one, Rick Wiles has a very large Catholic base. Rick Wiles got a lot of money from the Crouches of... they even gave him a whole slew of radio, a whole network of radio stations. That's where he got his beginning. Okay? And Rick Wiles does a good news program. But you know what? Rick Wiles, he begins his program with untruth. It's TRU news. Not quite TRUE, but TRU news. Also, he did have Catholics. He did interview some Catholics recently. What was the guy's name that loved the Pope and that got killed in that motorcycle accident that was uniting the evangelicals, and he said the protest is over? Yeah, anyway. Kenneth Copeland's friend. Yeah, he interviewed him on his radio broadcast, and he admits he has a large Catholic base, so that's why he won't have me on his broadcast, see? So, when Rick Wiles asks for money, it comes in for droves. Well, you know, maybe Rick Wiles has his reward, and I'm still waiting for mine. He says it's because Jesus Christ is on his side. But the fact is, he starts his program with a fallacy. He says, one man, one microphone. Well, it's not one man, one microphone. Maybe it was in the past, but why doesn't he change that? You know, I'm one man, one microphone. Look, here I am, one man, and here's the microphone right here, okay? And you know what? I really do. He's announcing the countdown to the return of Jesus Christ. And I've never heard a countdown. He's never announced a countdown. He just says it with every broadcast that he's doing. I'm the only one I hear out here announcing the countdown to the return of Jesus Christ. Check out my post. What year is it? We have, 38 or 39 years to go. I don't know the exact day. I'm just counting down to about the year 2055, according to the Bible. Read my post. What year is it? And, well, it's because the Antichrist rules the world. That's why some people are popular and some are not. If you read your Bibles, you read the part of chapter 13 where the Antichrist... rules the money, yeah. Everyone needs a mark to buy or sell or trade. See, that means the Antichrist actually rules the monetary world. You have to believe that if you believe the Bible. And so the Antichrist is alive. He is on planet Earth. He does rule the world right now. He is in the last form that is outlined in the Scripture, right? It's not the 1260-year reign of the Antichrist. That's over. And it was 1260 years, proven by history, verified by history. It's not a future fantasy, okay? Yeah, but it says that he is healed from his deadly wound, and the Antichrist was healed from its deadly wound. It has gained prominence in the world, and he is now ruling. It says, was, is not, yet is, meaning that people don't really know that he's ruling the world. People don't recognize him in this final phase of the Antichrist rule. And that's why the people look and go, well, then. And all of the evangelicals and used to be Protestants, they don't believe in the historical biblical Antichrist that the Reformers believed in for 1260 years, and all of the pre-Reformation fathers believed in, from Tertullian to Irenaeus to Jerome to the Waldenses and Albigenses all believed in. Well, they believe in a future Antichrist that nobody knows. You can't know who he is because we don't know until the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. That's all pure speculation on their part because the Holy Spirit ain't going nowhere. And never going nowhere. And Christians are not going to be raptured. We're all waiting for the resurrection, and it's not going to happen on the 7-year tribulation deception timetable. Okay, read all about it in my book. When the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. This book is why I'm not popular, why people are not sending me money, why ask Rick Wiles why he will not have me on his broadcast to talk about this book. Ask him. He has this book. He has several copies of this book because they've been sent to him several times. He has my previous book from 2014, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. No, Rick Wiles doesn't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, but he still believes in an end-time Antichrist, not the Pope, not the papacy. The papacy is not the seat of the Antichrist to him. And he believes it might be the last and final pope, whoever he's going to be. We'll find out after we're raptured, or after some people are raptured or not raptured, but when the 7-year tribulation deception starts. So that's the reason. So Terry Tibbs, talk to Rick Wiles and plead with him to have me on his broadcast, and he can tear me to pieces over my book. When the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. He can tear me to pieces, and he can tear down the whole idea of what I'm propounding here. And you know what? It isn't about how much money you get. If you're popular and you're getting lots of money, you should be very afraid. That's right, because if you read chapter 7 of Matthew, Jesus speaking about the few and the many, and he draws two separate illustrations of the few and the many. First, the world at large, he talks about the few and the many. He says that the many are on the road to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Okay? He's talking about the world at large there. But he narrows it down. Later on, he talks about the few and the many in the church. He says the many will come to me in that day. Now the focus is on the church alone, the visible church on earth. Many will come to me in that day and will say, didn't I do this? You know, Rick Wiles will be right up there going, didn't I have a news broadcast? Didn't I announce the countdown to the return of Jesus Christ every day? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Some will say, didn't I heal the sick? And, you know, didn't I do this in your name and do that? And he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. How about Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye? Is he going to be up there going, didn't I write those Left Behind books? Didn't I sell millions and millions of copies of Left Behind fiction? What's Jesus going to say to him? Because it was all lies and deluded and deceived a lot of people. And there are a lot of deluded people out there thinking that God needs them. I say, I know God don't need me. He doesn't need me to do this. To me, it's an honor that I get to work for him. And if my treasure is in heaven, if my treasure is in heaven where neither moth and rust can corrupt, neither can thieves break through and steal, then so be it if my treasure is not in this life. If I'm not popular in the outer court where the Jesuits have dominated with their counter-reformation eschatology, if I'm not popular there, then so be it. Okay. Any more questions or anything in the chat room there, Michael?
There's a lot going on with more questions.
Yes. And thanks to Michael here, who's helping me out for very little pay. Actually no pay at all. He gets to eat. And he gets a roof over his head. And And so it's two men and one microphone, okay? Now. But no salaries. We don't, you know, it would be nice if we could have salaries, if I could give Michael $1,000 or $2,000 a month. If I gave Michael $1,000 a month, that would be more than I'm getting for the work that I'm doing here. And it's not just this broadcast. He does an hour a day, you know. I do 2 hours a week plus regular Bible studies on the air. Plus, I run FirstAmendmentRadio.com. I work hard. Like, you know, I get my example. I take my example from the Apostle Paul, who made tents. He labored for the gospel. And then when he wasn't laboring to pay his own way, he was preaching the gospel or suffering for the gospel or suffering deprivation for the gospel. So I don't have the money to, you know, get a new well, or we have to do without air conditioning, $80,000 air conditioning systems and $500,000 studios. So I'm deprived of that. I suffer a deprivation where others aren't, suffer no deprivation whatsoever. Yeah. For the kingdom of God. Because my reward is not in this life. I don't have to have the best of everything to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do it with what He's given me. I don't have to wait years for my $500,000 studio to show up. I got a webcam. It's on. Here I am, preaching the Word of God, teaching people about the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the true kingdom of God, the kingdom gospel that Jesus preached. I'm not better than my master. I don't have another gospel for you. He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And that's good enough for me. So I call everyone everywhere to repent, for the kingdom is at hand. That's why I call my ministry Cross the Border, because I want you to cross the border into the kingdom of God. How do you do that? You repent. And you allow the Holy Spirit to do the first work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That is the fruit, the work of repentance in your lives, crucifying the deeds of the flesh, nailing them to the cross. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. That's the gospel. You're crucifying the deeds of the flesh. You're learning to walk in the kingdom of God, and Jesus is your king, and you know what pleases him because he wrote about it in his book. And you do not want to do the things that do not please him. Those are the things that you're nailing to your cross. And you can't earn your way into the kingdom. He shed his blood to provide it for you so that he could impute his righteousness to you. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. His blood is what allows it. His blood is what allows his righteousness to be imputed to you. The work he has begun in us is that work of repentance, where he makes us better. He purifies us. He perfects us. It is the work that he is doing in us. It's not what we do for him. Because what I do for him is what he's doing for me. I couldn't do it unless he was working on me. Unless it was him working through me. Yes, to him be all the glory. And amen. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. When we return, we will open up and start on part 14 of History Unveiling Prophecy, or Time as an Interpreter. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.